Good morning. Glad that you're here this morning. Today is somewhat of a bittersweet assembly for this body of believers. Our hearts are heavy as we grieve with the family of Ben Campbell on his passing. And at the same time, we feel a level of celebration as we know one of our own has gone home to be with the Lord. It may have already been mentioned, I was chauffeuring children back and forth to the bathroom early on, so I'm not sure this was announced, but the funeral service for Ben Campbell will be here at the building tomorrow evening at receiving of friends from 5 to 7 with the funeral at 7. So we hope that you'll be here to comfort this family at this celebration of life as we remember him. And I think it's fitting that we begin our service today, before we get into the sermon today, praying for God's comfort for this family. So would you bow with me, please? Our loving Father, we are so thankful that we serve a God who is the God of all comfort. That you are not a God that is some powerful being that is far removed from us, but that you are a God that came to live among man. That you came here to visit the human race, that you know the pains of our hearts, and you know the struggles that we face in this fallen world. And so, Father, since we know that you know the pain of grief, you know the feeling because you gave your only son to die, we ask, Father, that you would comfort the hearts of this family in their grief. And Father, we know that for those that trust in Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is no fear. That the perfect love of Jesus Christ casts out all uncertainty, and we know that Jesus has gone to prepare a resting place for all of your children. And we know, Father, that from now on, blessed are those that die in the Lord. And for that, we are thankful. But we still grieve. And so we ask for comfort for this family in their time of processing what has transpired. Father, that you'd be with our sister Joyce and that you would comfort her spirit. And Father, with the children and the grandchildren, that you would help them during this hour of trial. And may we, as their family of faith, surround them. Help us, Father, to be here for them in their time of need, just as they have often been here in our times of need. And I pray, Father, that you would help us all to always realize the power of family. Not only the families into which we've been born, but the family into which we have been reborn. We are thankful for the church and for the support that we receive here in this place. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. During the month of February, we are entering into a new chapter in the history of this church. We are going to begin, under the direction of our elders, the process of appointing additional elders for this congregation, which means that we are entering into an exciting phase of the next step in the development and growth of this church. And so with that task before us, I have been asked by the elders to present some sermons relative to the issue of leadership in the church, and God's plan for shepherds of the flock. And so today we begin a four-part sermon series. Throughout the month of February, we're going to be exploring together the theme of the heart of a shepherd. You see, here's the real question that we have to ask whenever we arrive at a place in a gathering of God's people where we realize that we need more leaders. There's a question, and the question is, what do we look for? What should we be looking for in a leader among God's people? Well, there's a story in the Old Testament that I think helps us immensely in answering that question. It gives us tremendous guidance and insight into what God is looking for in a leader among His people. And the passage is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You may want to look there. I'm going to be summarizing that story for us, and we'll be looking at some very pertinent application from the story this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to focus especially on the first 13 verses of that chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. It is here as the chapter opens that we find that God's people are at a unique place in their history. They've had their first king, Saul, but God has rejected him because Saul rejected God. And so God's people are in desperate need for finding a new leader. And so the prophet Samuel is sent to the little town called Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse. And he goes to the house of Jesse, where Jesse has a whole house full of young, strapping boys. And there he's looking for the new king of Israel. In Jesse's house this day, God reveals to us a vital principle when we are looking for leaders among God's people. And here is the principle. We must look beyond outer appearances. Samuel comes to Jesse's house and he looks among Jesse's sons for the new king. And there are several obvious front runners. There are several obvious choices as to who the new leader may be. But what we learn here in 1 Samuel 13 is we've got to look beyond the externals, because externals can be deceiving. When Samuel sees apparently the oldest of the boys, Eliab, come before him, he's a boy of height and a great appearance, and he seems to be the obvious choice for the new king, verse number 6. But Samuel is surprised when God reveals in verse number 10, not only have I rejected Eliab, I've rejected all 7 sons that have come before you today as being Israel's new king. And Samuel is shocked, like we would be. Because when we look for leaders among God's people, for instance in the church today, we often see obvious choices too, don't we? The obvious front runners, those that come to the forefront of our minds, the obvious choices for leaders in the church often seem to be successful businessmen, community leaders, likable personalities, good communicators, and the like. But sometimes the best leaders are those that are the least obvious, because God's ways are not man's ways. Isaiah 55:8. It did not even occur to Jesse to bring the youngest boy in from the field. It never crossed his mind when the prophet of God came to his house searching for Israel's new king. It never crossed his mind to bring David in from shepherding his sheep. But this was the very leader that God was looking for. And he tells us why. When God rejected Eliab, the Lord said in verse number 7 to Samuel, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outer appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." There is a key principle there, my brothers and sisters. When we're looking for leaders among God's people, what does God reveal to Samuel that day? Don't just look at the obvious external characteristics. Look the way that God looks for a leader. Look at the man's heart. So what are we looking for when we're looking for elders among God's people in the church today? Above all else, we must look at the man's heart. We must try as best we can to peer into, to gain insight into the inner working of a man's makeup and determine who he really is. When churches look for new leaders, we often rush to find a man who meets all the outer qualifications, much like what Samuel was expecting when he went to Jesse's house that day. Eliab looks like the obvious choice. No doubt some of those other six brothers looked like they were kingly types. And we rush to look at those things too. We often ask questions like, is he a good leader? Does he have a stable marriage? Does he have children that are in the church? Is he respectable in his demeanor and his appearance? In the early church, God inspired Paul to give us two different descriptions that Will read for us this morning, one in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the other in Titus 1, that give us the characteristics that we should be looking for in the heart of a man that would be a leader among God's people in the church today. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, hear me clearly on this, that we often, when a time comes in a church's history to appoint elders or appoint additional elders, we rush to those lists, treating them like they're a checklist of qualifications. And we usually put more emphasis on the external traits. Is he the husband of one wife? Does he have believing children? He's not a new convert to Christ, is he? And I'm afraid, friends, we miss the whole point of what these two passages are striking at. I'm not convinced that these lists are qualifications at all, but instead, hear me on this, are descriptions of the kind of heart we are looking for in a shepherd among God's people. What kind of heart should the man have? Let me just run the description. We're looking for a man who has a heart that is loyal to his wife, a man who has a heart that is approachable and welcomes strangers into his friendship and into the warmth of his home, a heart that knows how to lovingly present truth and instill lasting faith in the next generation, a heart that is loyally dedicated to God and is not consumed with things like the love of money or addictive substances. We're looking for a heart that avoids argument and anger, but instead is beaming with love and gentleness. We're looking for a heart that's not conceited, but is humble. A heart that is full to the brim with holiness and has gained respect because of that among believers and unbelievers alike. Let's not look at the outer appearance. Let's look as God looks on the heart. Samuel did not find the next leader of Israel in the obvious places among Jesse's seven sons, but he did find one in the most unexpected of places. He found a leader among the sheep. A man with the heart of a shepherd. Look at verses 10 and 11. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." Throughout the Bible, the idea of spiritual guidance and direction is spoken of using the imagery of shepherding. God Himself is presented as being a shepherd in Genesis 48, and even the most famous Psalm 23. Jesus himself is referred to in the New Testament as the chief shepherd of our souls in John 10 and in Revelation 7:17. And spiritual leaders, elders, overseers are referred to in the epistles of the New Testament as being shepherds as well. Well, what is a shepherd? A shepherd lives among the sheep. A shepherd knows how to guide, direct, protect, and feed the sheep. God's people throughout time have been plagued with bad shepherds, such as in the days of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6, where the prophet of God rebukes the bad leaders over Israel because they did not understand what a real shepherd should be. And from that, we gain insight into what a shepherd, in fact, should be. Shepherds are active in watching for the well-being and the health of their sheep. They feed the sheep. They strengthen the weak. They heal the spiritually sick. They bind up the broken. They seek for the lost ones. They bring back the straying ones. They direct and comfort with a word of gentle demeanor. In summary, shepherds desire to be with other people and to help other people. Why? Because they have a heart for people. Where did Samuel find Israel's new king? He was out among the sheep. Where would the church today find shepherds of the flock? We need to look among the sheep. Those that are among the sheep. People that have, that men that have a heart for people. And that's apparently what David had. That's the kind of heart that he had. Because when all of his brothers came before the prophet Samuel to parade and politic for being the next king over Israel, David wasn't in that line of procession. He was out among the sheep. Because that's the kind of leader God wants in the church. It is counterintuitive. It is countercultural. It goes against all leadership principles in the world of business and finance and success. Because God's kingdom is completely upside down, where the least become the greatest. The kind of men we should look for to be leaders in the church today are men who are among the people. Men that are already shepherding others. Men who are already tending the needs of others. You see, you cannot create a spiritual shepherd by giving him a title. Spiritual shepherds are simply those people among us that we recognize for what they are already doing. They're already tending the flock. They're already meeting the needs of people. They already have a heart that is serving others. A man that is among the sheep. Because if a man, now you hear me on this, if a man is not already caring for others, already teaching others, if he's not already directing and counseling others before he's given the title of an elder, don't you think for a moment that he'll do it after being given the title. What are we looking for in an elder? We're looking for men that are already pastoring, men that are already feeding, men that are already leading, men that are already caring, that are already among the flock, tending to their needs, and all we're doing is acknowledging their gift of leadership spiritually. You can only be recognized as a shepherd of God's people if you're already tending to the needs of the sheep. And so we should learn from Samuel's example here in choosing leaders among God's people. Rather than looking at the men that are lining up with the desire to be king over God's people, let us look for men that are among the sheep, tending the flock, and simply recognize them for who they truly are. Among all of David's brothers, David is the one that is recognized and anointed by Samuel, verse number 13. And in the moment when he is anointed, the Bible says there in that verse that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And why is that? Because God's leaders must be filled with the Spirit. When we're looking for elders, what are we looking for? We're not necessarily looking to the external. We've got to look beyond outer appearances. Look to the heart of the man. We must look for those that are already among the sheep. But thirdly, we must look for those that are filled with the Spirit. Those that have a difference of spirit. And we see that throughout the Bible. In the early church, when they began looking for leaders, one of the first things they looked for were men that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 11. But how do you know? How do you know what is in the heart of a man? Well, first, we must look at his behavior and his attitudes. This is what Jesus calls in Luke 6, his fruit. We should look for a man who bears the marks of the Spirit's indwelling. A man who is loving, who is joyful, who is peaceful, who is patient, who is kind. A man that has integrity. A man who is reliable. A man who is gentle in his demeanor and demonstrates self-control. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So we must look at his behaviors and his attitudes to know what's inside of him. But also listen to the way he talks. Jesus said in Luke 6, 45, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if you listen carefully, if you really pay attention and hear the way a man talks, how he talks, what he talks about, it speaks volumes about what's really on his inside. And so we must listen to his words. We must observe his actions. We must determine his heart, because we're looking for someone who is filled with God's Spirit. You see, God's people today need leaders just like what Samuel was looking for that day in Bethlehem. We're looking for someone who is chasing after God's own heart. During his ministry, Jesus emphasizes this point so strongly. Because Jesus, when he came to this earth and he looked among the Israelite people, God's people, his heart was rent in two. His heart was broken. The Bible says he was moved with compassion when he looked on the crowds and saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, scattered and aimless, wandering around without any direction or focus. That's Matthew 9:36. But why did Jesus find them that way? These are God's people. This is the nation of Israel. God had been raising up leader after leader after leader among them. So why, when Jesus comes, does he find that God's people are scattered? Were there no elders? Were there no older, wise people among Israel in those days? Were there no leaders in Jerusalem? Were there no men who provided spiritual direction and guidance? Oh, yes, there was. There were leaders in Jerusalem. But what kind of leaders were they? They were leaders who were elevated in their titles. Leaders who were arrogant in their doctrinal stances. Leaders that were far removed from being involved in the needs of people. And Jesus confronts them as being bad shepherds. During a feast, interestingly enough, at the sheep gate of all places, Jesus comes to the sheep gate and he finds a bunch of lame people, sick and paralyzed, and he heals one of them that day. And when the religious leaders of Jerusalem find out about it, that Jesus is breaking one of their religious policies by bringing healing to the man, They rebuke Jesus. But listen to what Jesus says that day at the sheep gate in the hearing of these bad leaders. He says in John 5, 39 through 42, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you." So what's the point? What are we looking for when we're looking for a leader among God's people? We should be looking for the same thing that God was instructing Samuel to look for. Someone who has the love of God in them. Someone that is filled with God's Spirit. Someone like David that is chasing after God's own heart. Not just someone who has a love of Scripture. We're looking for someone that has a love for the God of Scripture. Someone that has the love of God in them. We're looking for someone whose spirit is filled with God's Spirit. Someone who is clearly in a love affair with God. Like David, we're looking for someone who is chasing after God's own heart. So as we embark upon this process this month, and as we study together over the course, God willing, of the next four Sundays, asking the question, what are we looking for as we look among ourselves for leaders to rise up among God's people? Hear me clearly on this. Look beyond outer appearances. See the way God sees and look on a man's heart. And look for a heart. The heart of a man who is out among the sheep with a heart for people. Look for a man who is filled with God's Spirit. Look for a man who is chasing after God's own heart. That's what we're looking for when we look for the heart of a shepherd. This morning, let me ask you, have you surrendered your life to the shepherd of your soul? If you've not, today is a good day to do that. And so we have shepherds of this flock that are serving us faithfully now. They just need some more help. We're looking for some help for them. But we have good shepherds now that are men that have a heart for you, that are men that have a heart for God. And if you've got some spiritual need, they want to be here for you. And that's why every Sunday at the close of a service, we've got a shepherd of the flock. I'm so happy to be working with a congregation of God's people where a shepherd of the flock is before the people every Sunday. And he's there because he wants to be there to help you if there's anything we can do. And we've got men that if you've got a private need, we'll meet in the library and have a private prayer with you. And those needs are here for you. Those avenues are here for you. And so if you need any help, we want to encourage you to seek it this morning. If you're ready to commit to the shepherd and overseer of your soul in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the best shepherd of all, we would encourage you to come in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism. And so that opportunity is going to be for you here in just a moment when we stand, and you can make your need known, and we would love to assist you in any way that you might need. But before we do that, I want us to end with a prayer. And that prayer is that God would guide us in this process. That He would help us to be like Samuel. And He would lead us to find men with the heart of a shepherd. Let's bow. Our loving Father, we are so thankful. I am so thankful to be a part of a gathering of Your people like this. We are blessed, Father, that we have men that are serving us currently, that are shepherding Your flock. And I pray, Father, that you would stir their hearts to have an increasing desire to have the heart of a shepherd, a heart that chases after You, a heart that is filled with Your Spirit, a heart that is among the people and is meeting their needs. And Father, I pray with thanksgiving that we have a gathering of people here, of families that are seeking you, and men in this church. We've got a lot of men in this church that have a heart that is genuinely for you. And I pray, Father, in this moment, that your Holy Spirit would descend down upon this place and would be stirring and working in the hearts of men in this church. Because, Father, we need more shepherds. Men that have this kind of heart to step forward and be willing to serve. And we've got men here, Father, that are good, capable men. And I pray, Father, that you would help them to take a fresh look, to be convicted and challenged, and that you would put a heart of courage into them to seek out the recesses of their own hearts and to see, Father, if they could be one of these men that would lead us. And I pray, Father, that you would challenge some men here today that maybe haven't really seriously given a lot of thought to this task, but that are ready for it. And I pray, Father, that you would nudge them into service by your Spirit, not by compulsion from men, but that you would stir something holy within them, something of a good motive, something of a good purpose. And Father, we have men that are in various stages of life in this church, some that are in much younger years. And I pray, Father, that for us, that we would be living our lives now in preparation of preparing our hearts to one day be increasingly being leaders among your people. For Father, we can all lead in some way. We can all influence others. We can all tend to the needs of other people. And I pray, Father, that we would all be doing that, so that when the time comes, we can recognize the shepherds that are among us. Give our shepherds wisdom. Give them vision. Give them courage. Give them love in their hearts, gentleness in their hands, wisdom in their minds, passion and courage that motivates them. Because, Father, we want to be your people, and we want to make a difference in this world and a difference in this community for your cause. And so we surrender to you because, Father, Lord, you are our shepherd. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be standing together and singing a song. If we can help you, won't you come forward?